Hello, everyone listening online. Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. Welcome to our regular listeners, those from within our church family here locally, and those who are listening from further afield. This is not just a podcast you're listening to, but it is a time of worship. So let's commit this time to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we still ourselves in your presence, and we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would speak to us through what is said, through what is prayed, and that we would encounter you through this time of worship together. We commit each other into your loving care and pray that you would meet with us in our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jude is going to come and do the reading, which is John 21, verses 1 to 19. John 21. Verses 1 to 19.
Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples, were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thank you, Jodie. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And we pray that these words, this story, would resonate into our own lives and our own experience. Anoint us with your spirit and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was reflecting upon and meditating upon John's third appearance, which is on this third Sunday of the Easter season, lots of interesting questions came to my mind about the original disciples, It also raises questions for us today as we begin to open up again after lockdown. First of all, should Peter and the other disciples have gone fishing in the first place? Was it an act of disobedience, going back to their old lives? Jesus has appeared to them and they know that he has risen. What are they doing then, going back to fishing, going back to their old jobs? Maybe they needed to do it for economic reasons. We don't know. I don't think we should judge them too harshly. Even if they had met with the risen Jesus, he was disappearing on them too. And that would have left them with questions about what to do next. We see that their fishing expedition was a fruitless one. We see from verse 3 where it says they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So we see that the fishing exercise was unfruitful, and that doing things without consulting Jesus can prove unfruitful in our lives too. Do we make big decisions without consulting him? As a church, how often do we turn to prayer as an afterthought after we've already decided on a course of action? In the story, Jesus appears incognito on the shore in verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He comes alongside them in their unfruitful fishing expedition. And he asks them a question to which he already knows the answer. To enter into conversation and dialogue with them, he says, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Obviously, he knew the answer to the question, but he was engaging with them. And often he does the same with us. He engages us to draw us out of ourselves. And then he gives them instructions. He says in verse 6, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the number of in because of the large number of the fish. We see here that their net is so full that they can't haul it in. First of all, they listen. Even though they were tired and hungry after a hard night of working and fishing, and they obey. How often do we listen or obey? We probably won't hear a direct voice like the disciples did, but God can speak to our hearts and consciences, prompting us to do things. Are we listening? Will we obey? Will we take the risk of following those leads and hunches, or fishing in different waters? Are we fishing in the wrong places? Where are the fish who are ready to be caught in the nets of God's love? Jesus then tends to their needs. In verse 9, it says, "When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread." There is already a barbecue prepared by Jesus with fish and bread upon it. He invites them to bring some of their fish along also. And then he invites them for breakfast. In verse 12, he says, "Come and have breakfast." So he invites them to eat with them. That reminds me of the Easter breakfasts that we have here at Carey Baptist. We've not been able to have them this past Easter and last year's Easter. So two Easters we've missed out then now, where we would gather together and have a nice fry up or cereal or whatever there was and be able to celebrate the resurrection at that time. And we're missing those breakfasts now. And then Jesus is very practical. He feeds them. In verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Jesus fed them. And he feeds us too, often through other people. That may be physically, but also he feeds us with his word, with his message, with his life, with his spirit. After they had finished eating, so once their physical needs were satisfied, Jesus takes Simon Peter, calling him Simon, his old name, and he takes him aside to do business with him, to restore him after his failure and betrayal. And we have echoes of the coal fire, echoes here of his betrayal, where they were gathered round coal fires when he denied that he knew Jesus. And sometimes the smell of things can bring memories. The smell of food or the smell of that charcoal fire would provoke in Peter the memories of his betrayal earlier on of Jesus. And he asks Simon Peter, some direct questions. The first question that he asks them in verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What does he mean than these, perhaps? Do you love me more than the other disciples love me? And he replies, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus gives him a task. He says, feed my lambs. So not just physically, but feed them with God's word. Feed him with the life. Feed them with the life of God. And then he asks him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says, take care of my sheep. So he's given a task, not just to feed the lambs, but to take care of the sheep, to have pastoral care and concern for Jesus's followers. And then a third time, he says and asks him, paralleling the three betrayals or denials that Peter had when he was asked if he knew Jesus. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Asks him again. And this time it says Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he responds, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus responds again, feed my sheep, giving him this task to do. And that's a question also to us. Do we love Jesus? And we respond to that love by feeding and caring for his sheep, for his people, both in practical and in spiritual form. It's been a hard 14 or 15 months. We may feel like Peter, that we have failed in our discipleship, in our following of Jesus. But Jesus calls us again to care for and to feed each other. And as he recalled Peter in verse 19, saying, follow me, he calls us again to follow him in these uncertain times. Even if we have let him down and failed him. As Nelson Mandela said, the greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. Because, friends, we will fall, we will fail, but that isn't the end of the story if we get back up again and ask for forgiveness and ask for strength to follow Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, forgive us when we, like Peter, fail in following your Son, when we fail in our love and responsibilities towards others. Restore us as you restored Peter, call us afresh to follow you and to feed and to care for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jenny Birch, one of our church members, is going to lead us now in some prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude in our hearts, safe in the knowledge of your love and care for each one of us. Give thanks for the peace we can know when we put our trust in you. Thank you that by your death and resurrection, you saved us from our sins, doubts and fears. As you appeared to the first disciples, give us faith to believe, even when we cannot see, when we do not know what the future will bring. May we rely on our experience of what you have done for us in the past and trust our unknown future to you. Father, thank you for those times when Jesus has been revealed to us through everyday events. We pray that we may be receptive to these moments, that we may be aware of his presence with us, guiding and giving that gentle nudge. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Father, help us in our everyday lives to reach out and care for those in need of your all-embracing love. So we bring our prayers to you for those we know and the wider world. Father, we bring to you those known to us and those in our church family who are unwell at this time, either at home or in hospital, those who are undergoing hospital treatment, those who are anxious or troubled about their present circumstances and the future. Remember those at home not able to worship in church today for whatever reason, and those who are joining in this online worship. Lord, you know their needs, and we ask that you will minister to them with your love and grace. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have been bereaved and are in the process of dealing with their grief, facing the prospect of the future without a much-loved family member or friend. We pause to remember especially at this time the Queen and the other members of the royal family as they mourn the loss of the Duke of Edinburgh. We give thanks for his long life and his loyalty in serving the Queen and the wider community. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community and our nation as restrictions due to the coronavirus are gradually being lifted, and we give thanks as the vaccination process continues to take effect. We pray for wisdom for the government as they make plans for the next steps out of lockdown. We give thanks for the guidance and expertise of the scientists and the dedication of NHS staff over these many months. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those parts of the world where there is conflict and unrest. This week we've heard of more protests in the United States around the issues of race, colour and the authorities. We long for peace and harmony to return and an equal sharing of resources for all. Globally, the pandemic continues to spread and people are still dying or becoming seriously ill. Father, we pray that medical help, resources and the vaccines may be made available to all. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our church fellowship at Carey, for the deacons and leaders of the various groups as they plan for the future. We give thanks that our young people's groups, the brigades and Toddlin, and pray for them as they plan and take steps towards meeting again face to face. Finally, we pray for ourselves. We may be open to knowing the presence of Jesus in our lives and willing, as the early disciples were, to follow him in the days ahead. Lord, hear our prayers as we ask them all in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Jenny, for those prayers of intercession. I'll close now with a blessing. Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Set out then on a new life with Christ, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining us online, and we'll be continuing with these recordings for the immediate future. So if you find them helpful, then we'll join you next week. Go well. God bless.